home of the stars, through the airwaves and on the big screen. Live from Hollywood, it's Rated LGBT Radio with your hosts, Garrett Miller and Rob Watson.
And here we are again. I am Rob.
And I'm Garrett.
We're back for our Thursday night wonderfulness. I love Thursday night.
We need to work on
just
our...
Just to let you know.
We need to work on that, Rob.
What's that?
Our Thursday night wonderfulness.
Well,
we're going to have to come up with something really sexy. Sexy and hot for Thursday night.
Well, you and I have been accused of being sexy, which is like kind of like, okay, but, you know, whatever. So I guess this is my sexy voice.
There you go. Well, thankfully, we do actually have sex appeal on the show tonight because we're going to have Mike Drayden joining us in a little bit, and we're going to talk to him about all kinds of things that are going to be scandalous and fun. So I'm glad that you tuned in tonight. Before we bring Mike on, I want to give you a quick rundown of where we've been for the week, also where we're going, and then we will get to the fun. At the half hour mark, we're going to play a couple of commercials. So here's a whole roadmap. If you'd like to read the, you know, the bibliography, we're giving it to you ahead of time. That's the table of contents for the show. Good Lord. So on Monday, we had author Steve Jackson on the show. We talked about his book, The Zeus Payload. On Tuesday's show, we had author Chris Gaida. He is the author of a book called Arm Candy. It talks about his years of being a male escort in the exciting world of escorting stars at award shows. It did not involve sex. Chris Gaida was our guest on Tuesday's show. Tonight, of course, we've got Mike. We'll be excited to have him on in just a couple of moments. Tomorrow on the Friday Night Dance Party, live from Canada, we've got Xander Damos, and he is going to be our guest at a special start time of 3 p.m. I twisted his arm today and I said, can we do the show earlier? And he says, yeah, let's do it. So tomorrow at 3 o'clock, we're going to have Xander on in hour number one. And hour number two, it's your request, so get them in. I've already got a bunch from people around the country, including Deb in Youngstown, Ohio. It's a four-letter state, and I have trouble saying Ohio. Youngstown, Ohio. I can say Youngstown. Fine. We got Laura up in Costa Mesa. She's sent some stuff over. Michael up in Hollywood, Wesley in Arkansas, Paul in upstate New York. Thank you very much. We got a bunch of requests in for Friday already, so we'll play them. But if you want to get yours in, do that. And then finally, my last show of the week, but Rob will have one that follows, is That's Super right. Gay Radio at 8 o'clock on Saturday morning with my co-host, Paul Emery. You know him online as Paul in Mass. And we're going to be talking about the RuPaul review with Miss Viola. And Paul's also got another guest that's lined up, so we'll be talking to that person on Saturday at 8 a.m. Pacific time. But then on the flip side of the clock, Rob, you've got a show Saturday night. What's going on with you?
It's Saturday night at 7 p.m. Out in Santa Cruz. We are going to be having all the folks that are involved with the Pride celebration up here in Northern California. They're going to come in and talk to us about what is happening with Pride this year, because the Pride season is upon us. Chip,
right
chip,
on. Sure. Is Santa Cruz a big Pride?
Oh yeah, for the area in Santa Cruz, we have four Pride festivals in just the Monterey Bay area alone.
Wow.
And you know, and then there's San Jose Pride and San Francisco Pride and Oakland Pride, and yeah, you can stay in Pride, you know, ongoingly in Northern California for a long, long time during the season. So we're kicking it off, and we're going to talk about what's happening, and it should be interesting because we're in kind of this post heavy duty LGBT political movement era. I mean, now we're in the trans bathroom era, and it's going to be interesting to see how Pride reflects that.
Well, I think everybody up in Santa Cruz from my experience up there, you guys tend to be trendsetters that really kind of lead the charge. And it's not only for LGBT, but I think for a lot of issues that are surfacing across the country, you guys really tend to be the forerunners on what ultimately ends up happening across the country. And I think that's interesting. I don't know if anybody else is picking up on that, but, you know, instead of going to Iowa for the Iowa caucuses, we should just go to the Santa Cruz for, you know, Pride festivals. And I think that's where we'd really find out what's going to happen.
I do. I mean, you are touching on a sort of subject with me because, you know, we in California are sitting here completely dealt out of, you know, a lot of the whole political momentum. I mean, by the time the primaries get to us, we're just sort of like going, oh, okay, who's left? What?
Right.
You know, it's like we get sloppy seconds. But no, up in Santa Cruz, we do have some really incredible things, especially in the area of queer or LGBT youth. We just had our Queer Youth Awards, Queer Youth Leadership Awards, and it is in its 19th year. So, I mean, where there are things around the country that are celebrating, you know, gay kids and being supportive and everything else, we have a legacy going, and it is really an incredible event. I mean, it is like the Oscars. I mean, it packed. I did interviews there. All the local politicians are there. It was just really very heartening. I mean, it really is a positive thing. And so, yeah, I do like to think we've got some of the forefront of the movement going in this area.
Well, I want to talk more about that after the break today, because you had me on your show last Saturday. We'll talk about all of that and more, but I don't want to, if we do, I'm going to get off topic and we won't ever bring Mike on. He's going like, I thought I was supposed to be on the show. So let's save all that for the half hour, because I've got so much I want to ask you about. But now I always say, without further ado, it's my pleasure to welcome Mike Drayton to the show. I met him while he was on Child of the 70s, the popular web series that was created by Michael Vaccaro, friend of the show. I've seen him on the movie Open, which is a Bruce Hart production. And then, of course, he's got a brand new web series called Last Call. He's going to tell us all about that. And then scandalous stories aplenty. Mike, it's a pleasure to have you on the show for the first time on Rated LGBT Radio. How are you?
What's up, Garrett? What's up,
hey,
dude?
Mike. Welcome to the
thank
show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. How's life in New York treating you right now?
Right now, it's we're in a weather shift. It went from cold, and not like brutally cold like last year, but we went from cold to spring to cold to springish, and then cold, and now we're sort of evening out. We've been in the 70s the past couple of days, and with a nice breeze. It's awesome here. It is awesome to be in New York today.
So are you getting a suntan?
Well, if I stay still long enough, but I'm always on the go. So
nice.
So Mike, Rob, I want to ask you about something. I know we have this whole roster of things that we're going to talk to you about your artistic side, but
yeah.
In New York, you were in a documentary called Words, and wasn't that based in New York as well?
Yeah. Yeah. My friend AJ Mattioli, he's doing this documentary on how words affect the world and how it affects our lives. And in our conversation, I talked about the words growing up that affected me negatively and made me feel empowered. And growing up biracial, I was called half-breed and all different kinds of derogatory names as kids do when you're in grammar school. And then as I got older and I found the peer scene and met so many interesting people, I started taking on those words as I don't know what word to use, a mantle of sorts, and half-breed became words of encouragement for me. So it's coming soon. I know they're like in the last stages of editing, and you guys are going to be really blown away by how everyone has evolved from the negativity that words have affected them in the way that it did to how it empowered them. And a lot of them went on to incredible careers from entertainment to corporate America.
It sounds absolutely fascinating and actually really important. You know, one of the words, and I don't know if you guys deal with it in the film, that has been part of discussions I've been in recently is the word queer. And how for so many of us who are older, that the word is, you know, it is a horrible, horrible slur. And as I was just talking about with Garrett, we, you know, the young people who are feeling very empowered are embracing it, which means that, you know, darn it, they're going to win because, they'll outlive us. But, Is that like one of the words that you guys dealt with in the film?
Yeah, for me personally, absolutely. I mean, I just turned 47 in March, and our generation, queer was really a bad thing. But younger kids today, or those 20-somethings now, for them, queer is absolutely a badge of honor, and in very various forms. Queer in dress, queer in appearance, queer in thinking. They really embody the word, and it's a beautiful thing. We and many of us talked about how the word affected us. For me, you know, it made me feel less than or separated from, but it's definitely touched upon it from a lot of people's perspectives.
So I think it's fantastic. I think that project sounds absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, you need to get AJ on and talk to him because he has a lot more insight into where the beginning of it came from. And I think it came from his transition. So talking to him, he has far more insight than I can give you. I can only give you my perspective from our conversation. But it is a worthwhile endeavor.
Right. Well, we'll have to get him on. Can you hook a brother up?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. We'd love that.
We should start that, Garrett, when we have a guest on and say, okay, we're having you on our show, but you have to bring in the next guest. You know, you have to spread the
there
word.
You go.
Yeah,
but, you know,
why not? Yeah.
The lucky thing is that, you know, we've been very fortunate to have not only interesting guests, but talented guests that are on the show. So it's always like, and you're connected to this person and you're connected to that person. So it's, you know, there's always a trail of talent that's left behind, or at least, you know, as a forward thinking. But so, Mike, you know, I got a chance to visit with you just very briefly. You know, I wanted to make you my BFF, but I figured that'd kind of make me a little stalkery when we're hanging out on Child of the 70s and Open. So what was it like coming out here and working on a couple of different projects out in California compared to working in New York?
Oh my God, I get filled with joy every time I think about it, and I want more. I come from a theater and film background, but my notoriety and how people know me from is from adult entertainment, gay porn. But from that, it led to the things that I wanted to do and always wanted to do, and I pursued it more. So I ended up living in L.A. for 3 months and made a lot of friends and reconnected with old friends that had moved out there. So it got me the chance to come back and forth. And then, of course, I met Michael Vaccaro on a film I was doing here in New York called Available Light, shot by Todd Vero, written and directed by him. And we sort of clicked, and he said, hey, listen, I'm doing this project. I think you might be interested in it. I have a really good part. You're perfect for it. So we talked about it, and I said, you know what? Sure, I'll do it. Why not? So he got me out to L.A. We got to work together and have some fun. I thoroughly love Los Angeles. I don't know why a lot of people don't like it there, or they go for a specific reason, or they come away from a disillusion. But it is what it is, and it's an amazing city in its own right. And I just like to experience there. I had a great time, and I love going back every chance I can get. I like to go back. And now on the other end of the scale, working in New York, I mean, we have so many. And I think that's changing a lot for you guys there too. But we have so many different venues of entertainment where people can either be on the creative side or on the audience side. So it's sort of one of those wave pieces of art that you would have on like someone's desk where it just goes back and forth and the water's just going through the oil back and forth like that. That's what it's like for me.
Well, you know, I think you've probably been instrumental here, Mike, in making that wave shift over to here to California. So thanks for, you know, bringing that back. But, you know, it is kind of interesting, though, you know, because we have a lot of theater, which people don't really think of L.A. as a theater town, but we've got a lot of local theater. We've got a lot of big shows that are here and playing. You know, we've got all kinds of movies and things like that that you usually associate only with New York. And I have a feeling it's probably a lot of the New Yorkers out here going, I got to get out for the winter. And then they come out here and do fun projects and, you know, then we make new friends. So we appreciate you doing that.
Oh,
so
yeah,
you have a new web series that you're working on called Last Call that you are pretty much doing everything on. So what is happening with that? What is Last Call? And tell us all about that.
Oh, wow. Well, I am doing a lot, but I could not be doing any of it without the incredible cast and crew that I'm working with. AJ Mattioli, he's my co-executive producer and DP. Baltimore Russell is my production manager, and he sort of helps keep me focused when I'm being actor Mike as opposed to being producer Mike. And my cast, I mean, they give their absolute 100% all to this project. And last call came about from I was watching a YouTube video once where people were talking about not being able to find the work they want to do, whether it's because of height restrictions or ethnicity or the look that doesn't meet the look. And they just started creating their own thing. And as I'm watching this, you know, I'm just like, oh, this is interesting. Oh, yeah. And then the light bulb just went off. I realized that, well, one, two things. When I was a child, I used to really come home distraught from the park when other kids wouldn't let me play with them. And my mom said to me, well, why don't you just create your own games? And then it hit me that, oh, my God, I can create my own games? What? This is insane. So that's how I lived my life. If I didn't fit in somewhere, I always did my own thing. So this light bulb goes off, and I'm sitting there in my bedroom looking out the window saying to myself, holy crap, I'm on a powder keg of experiences and stories that would be an incredible web series. I've been approached to make it into a film, but there's a whole beginning, middle, and end to when I left corporate America after doing real estate for 10 years to getting into New York City nightlife and gay porn and then coming back again to mainstream entertainment. And just this whole story just started exploding in my mind. And I thought, okay, who would play this person? Oh, who would play that person? Oh, I got to remember this scene. I just started, this moment became a scene that I gave a little bit of creative license to. And I can guarantee everyone who watches this story that 95.995% of everything they see is at some moment or an actual thing that happened. There is some stretching of the truth, but the majority of it is absolutely true, and people will laugh their asses off because you would not believe that this happened. So I'm writing and I'm writing and I'm writing, and all of the story came to life. And with a little bit of naivete, I thought, you know, this will be great. I can get this person to do this, and we'll do that, and we'll hit the ground running, and we're still running, and I'm scraping my knee on the ground running. And it's been a, you know, chug-along kind of engine that could process. We've had folks donate money so we can pay the sound guy. We've got locations who are saying, okay, sure, you can have the space for free, but it can only be within these 2 hours, and just making it work for us. So all of this came about from elements of my life from the last, I guess, 6 to 7 years, and being a vehicle for other creators to see what I can do as an actor, and they see where my training comes from. And my friends who are actors who have not been working or who have not been able to find gigs here and there, I'm giving them a chance to come on and just play and have some fun and get some credit for it.
I love that pay it forward.
Yeah. So, yeah. Mike, what is Last Call referred to? What is the title? I mean, usually it's, you know, the end of the night at the bar, but what does it mean in terms of the series?
As I was thinking about the story, I thought, well, what's the one thing I always, if I couldn't be an actor or do this that I'm doing, what did I always want to do? And I wanted to, and I still do want to have my own gym. But for the story purposes, I thought, well, what would be more relatable? What would people really get in on? And I thought, oh, a bar. And I have like four friends that I know very well who own bars here in New York City. And I thought, oh, that would be a little bit more plausible. And I'm like, okay, where's the name going to come from? And I'm like, and I'm on the subway one day and I'm going home and Budweiser has this ridiculous new campaign and it has like all these sayings, these, you know, last moment things. And one of them happened to be Last Call. So I thought, there it is. That's the one. And I walked right into it. Like, literally, the door closed. I banged into the side of the subway and looked up, and there was the name of the show. And then I just kept writing with that intention in mind.
Very cool.
So what do you
giving away a lot today.
So, what, number one, when can we see Last Call? When is it going to be out? And you know, what's in store for as far as episodes, how many episodes are you going to be creating for this?
Each season is going to have 13 episodes, 12 at
wow.
the minimum. And we expect to have, and they're short episodes. They're not very long, anywhere between 10 to 15 minutes. They are, right now we have the one episode already shot, and we're going to edit to that. We're doing 2 and 3 next month, and then we expect to launch over the summertime, hopefully if we can get Stonewall to let us do it again there, we'll have a fundraiser and official launch at Stonewall. But we will have our official Never Seen on the Web premiere at the Brooklyn Web Fest. And we're one of a few that have applied for this honor to be a part of that. And it's also a contest. Those of any the winner of the contest will be connected with people from Vimeo and YouTube and all kinds of media connections to help propel the show forward. And so we're contenders for that as well.
I love that. Good job. Good job, Mike.
And Mike, what is when people get involved in this? And by the way, we want people to go to your YouTube channel and subscribe.
Yeah.
Because I know that will be very important. But what is the impression? Like, what life changing thing do you want them to walk away after viewing the series? I mean, it has quite an arc to it.
Yeah, I think that. Many of us have, if not in that moment, are experiencing it now with the way the world is. We've experienced a time where we were in flux and we had no idea what we were going to do. We didn't know what the hell we were going to do, where to go, who to ask for help. That moment where you're completely, all right, I'm just going to take a leap, and that's my faith. I'm going to just go for it. And I'm hoping that people walk away with the sense of, I can do anything I set my mind to. I can do anything I want to do. And setting your intention that way, everything you put out there will come back to you times three. And that's what I'm hoping for. If it doesn't inspire someone, I at least hope to get entertained by the ridiculousness of this story and at least get a chuckle. I hope they that's what they walk away with.
That's wonderful. I'm just really struck by how much of the projects you do that you really want to cause an effect. I mean, you have more purpose to it than a lot of people do, and they're doing entertainment stuff. Like you were in this project in New York, this superhero themed Prep Heroes.
Oh yeah. That came about thanks to Jack McEnroth. He's another dear friend of mine. Housing Works was doing this new campaign to bring awareness to PrEP, and I'm actively using PrEP. And they wanted to create this advocacy heroes for this medication, which is so very important. So a group of us got together. We did this photo shoot by Mike Ruiz, who's another friend of mine. And it just became this thing, this amazing thing. And I was happy to lend my face and, you know, whatever. I said, make me up whatever way you want. I know they had an idea. They showed me the costume sketches. I'm like, sure, whatever you want, I'm down for it. So they colored my beard blue. They put, like, this feather thing on my head and made it look like my hair. And they painted on a gold mask. And then they put all this leather on me and straps and gold lamé pants. It was – I felt like a drag queen. like a Mad Max drag queen. It was so awesome. And I met so many interesting people. I met this really awesome drag queen. Her name is Helvetica, but his real name is Andrew, and he is the most talented guy I've met in a long time. And it's a great makeup artist. Everyone who is interested in being a part of a movement for health advocacy. And it was a blast, and I was so honored to be a part of it. And because I was the prep hero, I got to do the AIDS ride last year, which was my first time doing it. It was really intense, and they asked me to be a part of that too. So that was an added benefit bonus to it, because that was like out of left field.
Yeah, no, it's landmark. It's wonderful. Since some of our listeners may not understand PrEP, can you maybe we'll do a little PDA right now?
Yeah, absolutely. PrEP is pre-exposure prophylaxis. It's under the brand name of Truvada. It's a medication you take that helps secure and prevent the transmission of HIV. Taking consistently, daily, without fail, it's a little bit beyond my exact words and language, but from what I understand, taken daily, it coats your cells and with a protective layer and does not allow HIV to mutate and change your trueness, I guess. And there's an incredible group on Facebook called BiPrep, the truth that, what's the word? Oh, shoot, I forgot. So it's Truth and Lies of Prep, I forget. And Damon is the guy who runs the whole thing, and he's become an incredible advocate for health here in New York and around the world, I think, because of this. But that's where you'll find a lot more. But that's, and I certainly encourage everyone to find out more about it, get involved in it. I've been on it for 2 years. I see my doctor every 3 months. My system is fine. People react differently, but I guess I'm not being affected by it at all. And in conjunction with condoms, it is an added security.
And saving lives, obviously.
It is.
It's the thing, when the beginning of the crisis happened, that we prayed something like that would come along, and here it is. So.
Yes.
So, Mike, as we get ready to wind our time down with you, what else, you even have time for anything else, but what else are you working on?
Well, to, you know, keep the lights on around here, I work at the Winter Garden Theater here in New York, home to School of Rock right now. I'm an usher there, and I get to rock out with some of the most amazing people from front of house to on stage every night for 8 shows a week. And welcome everyone in and hand them a playbill and say, hey, come on, let's rock out. I do that. Mostly, I'm writing the next season right now of my show. I audition a lot. I keep my chops sharp by taking class here and there. And I keep the grind going. The more money that we can raise to get this project off the ground, the faster we can do more. And that's where my focus is. A lot of folks have wondered where I disappeared to. But unless they see me out and about business-wise, you know, I'm usually here at my desk, you know, whittling away, or I'm at the gym or running around. And folks can find us. We don't have an official website just yet, but they can find and follow along for Last Call on Facebook, Last Call Web Series NYC. And that is also the name for our YouTube channel, Last Call Web Series NYC. And the more people that subscribe, we'll be able to get our own URL name. So please subscribe. I have some behind the scenes stuff on there. It's a little naughty, and it's a lot of fun. And you'll get to meet some of the cast of characters as well.
Naughty and fun, two of my favorite words.
Yeah.
They don't ever come into play, but you know, they're two of my favorite words. So, Rob, anything else before we let Mike go tonight?
Actually, any other questions I have are probably going to open up things really wide open. But Mike, what you have done so many diverse things. What do you envision next for you in going into the horizon of creativity? What part do you want to play, or statement do you want to make that's next?
I want to. I've devoted. Well, I decided when I moved back from L.A. that I was going to make theater and film the rest of my life, because I put it off for one reason or another, one distraction or another, whether it be personal or professional. And I decided this is it. You know, there's really no reason why I can't do this anymore. And so if I could do any play, I'll be honest with you, it would be As Is, which is it was written by William Hoffman. And it was the very first play my uncle took me to see. I think I was 16 at the time. And it was the play that came out the year before The Normal Heart. And it really was heavy and hit nails regarding the AIDS crisis and the beginning of it all. And I was just blown away. My uncle is an independent filmmaker as well. And when I told him I wanted to be an actor, he said to me, oh, really? Okay. So he took me to see my first play, which was As Is, and I was on the edge of my seat the entire night. I knew from that moment that's all I wanted to do was to be up there doing what they were doing. And then he enrolled me at HB Studio, which was another incredible experience. And that's Herbert Berghoff Studio. It's an acting school here in the West Village, started by Herbert Berghoff and Uta Hagen. And I took theme study one semester with her. And I did improv classes with Trudy Steigel there back in the 80s. Now, that was a long time ago. so that is the rest of my life. One way, shape, form, or another, I will be doing plays. But if I had a choice and it was happening as is, would be the project I want.
Wow, truly inspiring.
Yeah, right on. Everybody, it's been Mike Drayton. He's the busiest man in New York City. I don't know how in the world he's even staying awake tonight. But, Mike, you have an open door to come back here anytime you'd like. And we'd love
you
to come back and tell more wild stories about life in New York and the life as an actor. So hope to have you back soon.
I'd love that. I would love
that.
And congratulations to you guys on an awesome show. And, Garrett, you kicked ass on Open, too. You were the
most hilarious
bartender I ever met.
Riveting as my role as a bartender.
Awesome.
Bartender, there we go. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Well, I hope to see you soon in person, my friend. Thank you for being here tonight.
Likewise. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
have a great
Mike.
Night.
Bye-bye. Everybody, we're going to take a quick break and hear from our friends at Rainbow Brew and then a shameless plug for my album, Blonde Jesus. So we'll be back in just 1 minute, so stay tuned, and we will see you all right after this.
When it comes to coffee, freshness is queen. That's why Rainbow Brew believes you should have the freshest coffee, roasted to order in small batches and delivered to your door within a couple days. Whether you're purchasing for a coffee shop, restaurant, or home, Rainbow Brew is your one-stop shop for fair trade and organic coffee. Offering many unique blends, including AM 950's own Blue State blend. That's Rainbow Brew, the Queen Bean, a proud sponsor of the Morning Grind. Online at rainbowbrew.com. Brew something good today.
Hey everybody, it's Garrett Miller. Check out my brand new album, Blonde Jesus, voted number one rock electronica, and the hit single, Gay Wedding.
It's a nice day for a gay wedding.
Buy your copy today at GarrettMiller.com. So there we go. That was Mike Drayton. What a nice, he's just a nice guy. And so all the stuff that he does, I'm so thrilled that he's a busy actor and working. And, you know, I know it's a struggle for indie actors all over, unless you've got a major studio, you know, giving you $20 million a project. But, you know, there's nothing that makes me happier than seeing somebody who just is passionate about what they're doing. That's certainly Mike. And I'm grateful to call him a friend. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Mike,
well,
come back anytime.
His work is so intriguing because there's such a fun and, you know, light isn't probably the right word, but entertaining, you know, campy, wild aspect to it. But underneath it, there's this really altruistic, serious, help the world kind of thing going on. It's just, you know, the power of that is really palpable.
Well, so, you know, and he's just the kind of person that has that caring heart. And, you know, despite the fact that he is out there, you know, pounding the pavement, doing auditions, you know, working the job to, you know, pay the rent and all of this, at the end of the day, you know, he's got good intentions behind the projects that he's working on. He's, you know, and he surrounds himself with good people. So, Mike, thank you for being here on the show.
Yeah,
anyway,
really great.
So,
really great.
What is going on in your world, Rob? You know,
in
people,
my world. We'll cover my world because my world, what's going on in my world is little compared to what's been going on in your world. But
let's talk about you first.
Okay.
You
well,
first.
Let's talk about me first. And I had this incredible set of guests on out in Santa Cruz last week. And I really want people to go back and hear that show. It's on KSCO.com. And if you go to Out in Santa Cruz, it's the top one there. It was the, you know, the May 7th show. But it, you know, it was a show that I thought was going to be good. I had an expert on named Dennis C. Miller, who'd written a book, and it was very much about depression and pulling yourself up. And I had this inspiration to pull my good friend Garrett Miller on because so much of your artistic work is really about breaking through things that are holding you back. And, you know, and for some people it's depression and that type of thing. And boy, did magic happen on that show. You guys were so digging deep and sharing from the heart and open. And it was like, it was just a thrill to be part of it with you guys.
Well,
just so honest and deep.
Well, you know, you know me. You know, if you ask me a question, I'm going to give you an answer. I may not voluntarily come out and say, let me just, you know, verbally vomit and tell you everything that's ever happened in my life. But if you ask me a question, you know, I will give you an honest answer. You know, I might not like the fact that I shared too much, or you might not like the answer that I give, but I'll certainly answer that. And it was an interesting conversation, and not one that I really. I'll tell you, I was a little uncomfortable doing it, but it was certainly a fun show to be part of, and to be able to hear Dennis C. Miller's take on things. Very interesting, especially given his youth growing up and a lot of the struggles that he had, you know, getting to where he's at today.
Yeah, well, it was, you know, it just kind of evolved, and you were honest and open, and and I know how deep you are, but you were sharing it on, you know, right out there, and it, you know, with all the complexities, and I just found it, again, very inspiring. And I hope people listening to it, especially people who are grappling with things, really take what you guys shared to heart, because the bottom line, it was a very hopeful, optimistic, life-changing message for people who are opening to it. So that was one of the shows that had a profound effect on me. And I was really grateful for you doing it with me.
Well, our Mutual Admiration Society is now in. I'm going to bang the gavel here in just a second. So anytime you want me to be on, it's always a pleasure. But, this is a fun show to do. This is like lighthearted. We have a couple of, you know, cool guests on. We talk and chit chat. Your show, I view as like the 60 minutes of, you know, by comparison. This is like the sitcom. And then your show on Saturday night is the 60 minutes where it's serious and informed and educational, but it's interesting and something you want to tune into all the time. And I tell people, if you go to outinsantacruz.com on a Saturday night, very often at 7 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, if I'm not out running around, which is like 90% of the time I'm not out running around, I'm sitting at my computer and I'm listening to the show. And sometimes I'll even call in just as a caller, but you know that you're going to get fantastic guests, world famous guests. I mean, you've had Michelangelo yep. Signorelli, you've had Barney Frank, you've had, you know, Dennis
Grant. We've had, you know. I'm amazed at who we got.
Yeah.
You're on our show? Wow. Okay, cool.
Wow. So one of the reasons you had me on also was because Steph was off doing the Spirit Awards or something like that.
Right.
So she was, talk to us a little bit more about that, because I'm always so amazed at how leader of the pack you are in Santa Cruz with your youth and your community spirit and all the things that you're doing. So what happened on Saturday night?
So on Saturday night with the Queer Youth Leadership Awards, or?
Yeah.
Well, that was, Steph was nominated as an ally for queer youth. She didn't win, because the person who did win, she called him, Susan Lucci of the Queer Youth Leadership Award.
Oh, man.
For like years and years and years. And so this was his year to win. So we'll move her up into that Susan Lucci standing on deck thing. But but the awards were fantastic. I was over there interviewing people at the school where they had them. It was packed, and the room was packed with the who's who of Santa Cruz. I mean, we had the assembly people, we had the mayors, we had all the dignitaries around town were at this award and this award ceremony. And, you know, it was just really very cool to be in a place where kids were treated and inspired to be themselves in this way. And, you know, hell didn't open up, and, you know, the second coming didn't happen, and, you know, all of those things didn't happen. The world didn't end because of acceptance and tolerance and celebration. And by the way, one of the things that I thought was super cool, had nothing to do with the awards, but I was standing across from the restrooms that they had at the school where these were held, and it was a gender neutral bathroom, and specifically called out that way, that, you know, it, and making that statement. So, you know, that's how far the schools have progressed in this area, with no problems, no issues. Everything that is happening around the country is completely manufactured, and we can prove it.
Well, and you know, the, I saw a meme today, and let me see if I can even find nothing like Garrett trying to, you know, do research on the internet during the show. Denise. Okay. My friend Denise. Okay. And Denise posted something today. It was a meme, and I'm going to go find this here, and I'm scrolling. Come on. Dun, 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 dun. But I thought it was hysterical because it was just, here it goes. You know, so there's a picture of a the LGBT flag and a picture of the American flag, and it's, you know, they're on, anyhow, you'd see it and you know.
It's right.
Just, when you realize trans people have been using whatever restroom they wanted for years, and the media is just using the issue to start to distract you from some illegal shit the government is doing again. And I went, how appropriate is that?
Yeah.
I got a kick out of that.
Yeah, no, it's... I mean, that is the thing about these type of issues, when they stir up things where you're going, okay, why was this not a problem last year? Like one of the things, you know, going to the trans bathroom issue, you know, they're all talking about how, ooh, you know, do you want these men in the bathroom with your little girls? And, you know, in fact, I had somebody confront me on Twitter about that. It's like, well, do you really want a grown man in the restroom when your daughter is going to the restroom? And I wanted to go, you know, I have two little boys. Well, they're not little anymore. They're 13 and a half now.
Right,
right. They were little boys, and they went to the restroom, and guess who were in the restroom with them? Men. You know, it's like strange men. It's, you know, it's, you know, why, you know, they aren't any more, you know, aggressive or able to fend themselves off than little girls are. It's just this very weird perspective going on right now in some camps.
Yeah. And you know, you struggle because I get the fact, and my sister, who is, you know, she's very wonderful, but, and, you know, she doesn't always get her weird brother, but, you know, I am the cool uncle. I will tell you that, you know, I made some posts about the fact that I thought the whole bathroom issue was ridiculous. You know, why do we want to discriminate against people? And, you know, the fact is, if, you know, you have that many bathroom issues, you probably need to stay home and seek medical attention, not for your bigotry, but, you know, for whatever, you know, nonsense is going on in your intestines that is causing you to have to use a public bathroom so often that this is even an issue. You know,
that's where you're hanging out. Yeah.
If that's where you're hanging out, you've got other problems, and it ain't having to do with transgendered people. Let me tell you. So my sister, you know, in all of her thing, you know, she wrote me a private note, and she's listening. She's not listening tonight. She's in Delaware, and it's 10:45. She's in bed.
Right.
But she goes, you know, I didn't want to say anything online because, you know, but she goes, I've always worried about, the boys going into the boys' room because I'm a mom and I can't go into the boys' room, you know, with them because obviously I'm the mom. And, you know, you always do worry about these things. And so, you never know if something weird or crazy is going to happen, you know, because everybody was only talking about the fact that, you know, and it really was like straight men, straight pedophiles.
Right.
Going into the women's restroom and purporting to be transgendered, which is not being transgendered, by the way. That's just being a pedophile that is straight, and you're still a creep and gross, okay? So it has nothing to do with being transgendered. And so, well, you know, I don't know.
I have an article, because that came up, and I think we mentioned it, that I wrote an article for your sister. In fact, you should send it to her, because I discovered that single moms and lesbian moms did have this huge mystique about the men's room and, you know, sending their boys in. And there was a lot of fear around that and a lot of mythology. The things that were being said, you know, for Garrett, you or I, who, you know, have run into men's rooms and wanted to get the heck out as quickly as possible, you know, would laugh at some of the stuff, but they don't know. You don't know what's behind that door, you know,
Right.
And And a lot of the stuff that, like, there were a bunch of videos on YouTube about, you know, men's room etiquette, which were basically, they were like these homophobic videos about, you know, men being afraid of taking too long a look, you know, at the other urinal or that type of thing. And it's like, so I had a whole bunch of all these rules. Like one of the rules in the videos was that if you walk in and there's somebody standing at a urinal, you never ever go to the urinal right next to him. You always try to put a urinal in between. So anyway, a friend of mine was writing an article and she was quoting this as gospel. It's like, oh, and you know, I found out this rule. And it's like, oh no. That's garbage. Stop it. You know. And so I wrote this article and a lot of them found it very helpful. You know, the truth about the men's room.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's sad that this is, you know, but I think every year we keep turning our country into much more of a reality TV show. And I know it's not intentional, but it just seems like every year, you know, we sink one level lower and then the next year it's one level. So, you know, we get marriage equality and we think we're going to raise the bar. Maybe we won't have to like, you know, get into the muck this year. And then, okay, now we've got marriage equality. What else can we be upset with?
Yeah, I know. Oh, plus, can you believe the venue?
Let's pick transgender bathroom. Because nobody who's ever been transgendered has ever used the bathroom before. This is a new thing.
Yeah, it's like the areas that have become the bones of contention, transgender people in the bathroom, let's invade their privacy, let's bombard them with this complete non-issue. And then on the other side is wedding cakes. I mean, really, that's what we're going to fight about. Wedding
cake.
Right. Yeah.
Like, you know, let's not fight about the fact that we've got homeless or there's kids that are hungry or healthcare, which is another, you know, touchy subject, or education reform or student loans or, you know,
right,
a living wage. Let's not talk
depression
about any of that. Let's talk about wedding cakes and people who have to go to the bathroom.
Exactly. So, ugh. You know, they need to let you and I rule the world. That is just,
I'm telling you,
all
I don't want that. Honestly, I don't want to, I don't want that responsibility. You know why? Because I would not put up with the crap. I'd be like, we're going to knock this nonsense off. Stop being stupid. You're being stupid. And if they want to argue about it, we're going to be like Caesar Milan.
Right. Okay. So now I just got a flash for your next album. So instead of blonde Jesus, you need to be blonde Zeus with up there with your lightning bolts and just zapping people of, you know, that's
I'm going to have to do some more push-ups to make that happen.
Yeah. Oh, well, you can do it. I have faith. But speaking of you and speaking of music and speaking of all that fabulousness, you made a music video this week. I'm so excited.
I did. Yeah, it was totally cool. So one of the things that, or one of the people I've wanted to work with for a long time. His name is Robert Rollins, and he's a filmmaker down here in Southern California. He's directed a feature film. He's got a couple of other projects in the works. He's directed a commercial for Doritos. He's done a bunch of stuff. We've been friends on Facebook. He actually invited me to attend the Orange County Screenwriters Group or something like that. And that, of course, you know, my next door neighbors, Jill and Jeff, who've been on the show before, they've, you know, encouraged me to go. So anyhow, we have all these 6 degrees of separation from Kevin Bacon and Kumbaya. And so when I got ready to release the album last year, Robert said, you know, I'd love to do a music video. And, you know, the timing and circumstances just weren't right. And a couple of months ago, you know, from scheduling, I said, you know, I'm thinking about doing another music video, but I said, you know, I don't even have the budget for the Michelob Ultra 64 calorie, you know, light budget. I've got less than that. We're talking like, you know, tap water budget. That's the budget that I got to work with. And he says, you know, I've been wanting to do a music video. Let's see if we can work something out. So we, you know, put our heads together, came up with, you know, a concept for the video, and we just, you know, made it happen. And God bless Robert Rollins, because, you know, he's not only very talented, but he's also a great planner. And so he's somebody that, you know, puts together these great storyboards. So when you're actually on set, you just go boom, 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 and you get the stuff done. And there's no, you know, there's no monkeying around, because, you know, when you're out there and, you know, you're really on your own dime, you need to make sure things are happening quickly. But Robert brought along his friend Joe, who's been on Nip Tuck. He's been on all kinds of TV shows, and he's, you know, quite the hunk himself. And, you know, thankfully his wife and their 2 kids let us steal him very early in the morning. And so we're doing this Tuesday. So, you know, so of course
I'm going to back this up here for just a second here, Rob, and say Monday, knowing that I have to do this on Tuesday, I should not, I call it resting my eyes in the afternoon. If I've got an opportunity to rest my eyes for half an hour, I'm going to do it. It's called a nap. And so Monday, I'm like, I've got to rest my eyes for just like, you know, 15 minutes. And so unfortunately, the 15 minutes became like an hour. And so I did the show. And then after the show, of course, you know, I'm wide awake, you know, at 8 o'clock. I should be going to bed at like 9 o'clock. So probably about like 10:30, I'm in bed and I've taken my Calms Forte, which is a natural sleep aid you can get over the counter or at Amazon or wherever. And I get no cut off of that. So it's not even like a paid endorsement, but it's a natural thing. So it's not like, you know, Ambien or, you know, something weird that's going to make you do weird stuff. And I've had my magnesium water and I do all the usual things. And I sleep horribly because I'm very, you know, I'm the person that, by the way, I don't use an alarm clock because I haven't needed one for years and years and years. I always wake up when I'm supposed to. And I've set my alarm clock for like 3:50. So, you know, I'm in bed at 10:30. So at 11:15, 12:14, you know, 1:18 or, you know, whatever. So I wake up pretty much on the hour.
Yeah.
But so I finally get up about 3:20 and said, okay, I'm just going to have to do this. And getting up at 3:20, here's my woe is me trail of tears. This is my first world problem. I have to get up 15 minutes early because I'm going to shoot a music video. So I get up, get showered, you know, get everything ready to go. And I'd already put everything by the door the night before. So it's just really load it in the car and go. So I'm thinking there's no way I'm going to make it to Robert's place by 4:30 in the morning. So we can get over to Joe's by 5 and then be in the middle of nowhere by however long it takes. But that's exactly what happened. And so it got the car loaded up, went and got Robert, went and got Joe. And then, you know, I sat in the back seat. Joe drove us out to wherever we were at in the middle of nowhere. And we filmed this music video for Unlike You. It's a ballad. It's the first ballad. I have two ballads on the album, Unlike You and then Memories That Time Forgot. And so Unlike You is the video that I wanted to shoot. It's about a breakup. And, you know, having the opportunity to, you know, talk about the fact that you see me one way, but I see who I really am. So it's like,
I know,
unlike
it is
you.
Really,
you
know. Actually, that one of the heaviest songs you have done. I mean,
yeah.
It's, I was kind of surprised actually when I saw that that was the video you were making, just because it is haunting. And I know when I first heard the album, and, you know, it was so much fun. I mean, nobody else gets to do this when you hear an album you love and everything else. And then, you know, the person who did it is such a good friend of yours and you can like just go into it in such depth. I mean, it's like, that has, for me, it's been a huge treat. But that song, when we went through it, as you know, when, cause I sort of said, okay,
yeah.
Well, this song is about this. And you said, no, it's about this. And I was like, whoa, that's deep.
A little
that's
different, heavy. Huh?
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it, you know, yeah. That, it, I have a really, really, really stupid question.
Those
and
are my favorite.
Of anybody. And, you know, it's, but I've always had this for years and years since the MTV days. I've had this question. When you make a music video, are you like really singing the song all the way through and they edit that in, or do you lip sync and they put the song over it? How do they do that?
So here's how this works. You know, you may film in order, you may film out of order. It just depends upon, you know, where you're at and the scenes that you're going to do and how it's going to be edited together later on. This is how I do it. I am assuming that most people do it similarly because I've been on a couple of music video shoots and the artists have done it kind of the same way. So I am by no means an expert, Rob. So if you go and talk to Beyonce, she's probably going to give you a completely different answer, which I would love to know because I will do what Beyonce does. But,
well, she put me off this week. I don't get to talk to her till next week. So
that's next week. You know, well, she's busy. She's doing a concert tonight. But what I needed, and this is funny because, you know, I write the lyrics to all my songs. So you'd think that I've got it memorized, but I've got my lyric sheet in a plastic, you know, sleeve so I can, you know, stuff it in a pocket and it doesn't get wrinkled and, you know, torn and worn. But I review the lyric and then I've got like a Bluetooth speaker that's sitting real close to me out of frame that when we get ready to do it, we press play and it cues up. And then I actually do sing out loud because if I just kind of mouth the words,
right.
It doesn't look the same on camera, and it just looks like you're not really doing a whole lot. So I actually do sing. I'm not going, but I sing along, just so it's really so the mouth looks like you're enunciating the words and it looks like you're actually doing it. So I'll sing along, and if people run in horror, well, they do, and thankfully there's just a set of two, so my friends were there going, okay, this is great, let's do it. And I would in the years past, if you ever said, okay, you're going to start singing, I'd be like, holy cow, there's no way. And now that I'm a singer, it's like, oh, okay, I'm going to start singing now. And it doesn't faze me. I have no idea, because if back in high school, if you would have said you're going to sing or speak in public, I would have vomited for real. And now it's like, I can't wait. Let's do it. Can I do it again?
And here we are.
But that's what we do. Yeah. So I'm lip syncing, or I'm not lip, I'm singing along to the song. It's actually playing while we're filming it, so I can have the time and the beat and those types of things. And especially if I'm doing any type of movement, hopefully I will remember that I'm doing it to the song and not just like walking along like I'm Clunky Frankenstein, but I'm actually hopefully walking along to the beat and doing that in time. So yeah, that's kind of how we did it, but it was totally fun. But we got out to the desert probably by 8, started filming, and it's not like boom, 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 because you got to set up the camera, make sure the lighting's good. And I think we probably left about 4:30, something like that. And I got home a little after 9:30 on Tuesday night. So it was a long day. But you'd think you're just going to film it in like, it's a 3-minute and 30-second song. So it'll probably take what, 20 minutes, 30 minutes to do?
No.
It's all day. Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody who's been around production knows that doesn't happen. Yeah. But yeah.
Well, until I did my first music video for the Guess What It's Christmas Time, I really thought, when they come down to film this, it'll probably be like a couple of hours, And I thought, 3 hours tops for sure. And that's probably if we're going out to lunch included in that time. And it was, a 14-hour day.
That one was even harder because you had dogs in it. It's like they're uncontrollable. They're,
There you go. Yeah. So we did the Unlike You. My director, Robert Rollins, give him mad props. We're going to see some more promo pictures on social media in the next week or so. We took some really fun pictures. If you go to my website, GarrettMiller.com, shameless plug, go buy my album, Blonde Jesus. It's $10. It'll help, actually let me pay the rent this next month. But on the landing page, you'll actually see a sneak preview clip from the video. And it's only about, 10, 15 seconds long, but you'll get a hint of how the video is going to, look once it's done, because the video is going to be shot in, or it'll be transferred to black and white. So we'll be doing that. By the way, Tony G and Hackensack, thanks for listening tonight. I know you got a lot going on, but I always appreciate you tuning in. So by the way, have a good 5K run this weekend and have fun with your mom on Saturday. So there's that.
But, very good.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see the video. So and while you're getting plugged out, I want to mention one to stophomophobia.com. That's stop-homophobia.com. They just celebrated their 6-year birthday, which is kind of amazing because it feels like they've been around forever. They have millions of viewers on the website. It's like 500,000 Facebook page, 220,000 on Twitter. But they have done amazing, amazing things in the realm of equality. They produce suicide prevention cards. They provide a suicide hotline around the world. So you can go on their website anywhere in the world, should you need that kind of resource, and find a local number. But they've just been doing amazing, amazing things in the equality fight. And they are 6 years old, and I'm very proud of them. So,
way to go. I love hearing that. Good job.
Yeah.
Okay, we got a minute and a half left. What else do we want to chat about while we wrap up the show?
Interesting things going on around the world. A great story I've got on Evolve Equals of brothers that were separated. The younger brother was told his older brother disappeared. Turns out his older brother was gay and disowned by the family. And it's a story about how they were reunited. So if you want a real tearjerker, you can find it on Gay Star News, on LGBTQ Nation. But if you need a link, Evol Equals, the Facebook page, has the story there. And I wouldn't miss that one if you can. So
there you go. Okay. And everybody else, you need to check out outinsantacruz.com on Saturday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Rob and Steph always have a fantastic show and highly recommend it. You got to set your clocks for that.
tomorrow on the Friday Night Dance Party live at 3 p.m. Pacific. We've got Xander Demos. He's going to be on talking about his new album. So we're going to be playing that and taking your calls and requests in hour number two. And, of course, on Saturday, we've got Super Gay Radio with my co-host Paul in Mass live at 8 a.m. Pacific time with our RuPaul review starring Miss Viola. So we'll be doing that. And for everybody else, I want to thank you for being part of the show. We love doing this with and for you. If you'd like to be a guest or know somebody who would be fascinating to have on the show, we would love to hear from you. Just send us a note on Facebook on the Rated LGBT Radio page. You can like the page or join the group. Join the group. And
join the group.
We'd love to have you be part of the community because, you know, we're here for you. I mean, it's fun that Rob and I get to sit here and chit-chat, but we love bringing guests that you would love to hear on the show as well. And with that, we're now out of time. Rob, it's a pleasure. Have a great night, and we'll see you next week.
See you next
You've
week.
Been listening to
Rated G Radio.